Welcome to the Real BS Show. It is in the shelter of others that you can find real, true shelter for yourself. Well, how you doing, Seth?
I feel like I'm in Vietnam right now.
Vietnam? I think our whole country's that way. What the heck's going on? It's crazy. Everywhere you look, it's like disaster.
Yeah, I was seeing the Federal Reserve stuff, and I'm sitting there
thinking.
Oh,
that's a whole nother ballgame. The Federal Reserve, who that nut job in the White House. Holy smokes. I mean, can it get any worse?
You saw that he fell again, right? He tripped.
Yeah, he'd always fallen down. Yeah. Oh, that was at a graduation or something, at West Point.
And then turned around and just took a can for
him. Rubbing his nose on the carpet.
There's a few things I was sending to people, and I thought I could share what I thought. Basically, you know, when that happened, I saw it right away on the news, and I not trying to be mean when this happens. You know, I recognize that
he can do that all by himself. He doesn't need any help.
You know, here's some of the sayings I thought of when he fell. Okay, this is like not the first time. This is like the sixth time.
Yeah,
whatever.
Right.
Okay, so here they are. The most down-to-earth president.
Constantly.
Nothing wrong with him. He's fine. He's in great health. He's completely mentally and physically fit.
Right, right. He's ready for another round.
No one can beat Biden. Only floors and steps can. Vote floors and steps for president and vice president.
I mean, can it get any nuttier out there? I mean, this whole thing with... And he wants to attack Russia. I mean, what a nutcase! And China at the same time. I mean, holy cow!
If we just like look at domestic, there's like a laundry list of things there. You know, now we're fighting inflation, right? You know, the Fed is trying to keep inflation under control as if they can.
They're constant
printing all that money, you know, that both Trump and Biden have signed off on for all those stimulus checks, you know.
Yeah.
People forget about that. We're paying for it now. You were saying the other day you went to...
It's just getting started. I think it's going to really go crazy.
You said you went to get some Vienna sausages. You like those little Vienna
sausages. Yeah, they went up like $2.
Yeah.
Jeez, what the heck? Yeah. Holy pack, catfish.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it went from like $3 up to $5. Yeah. You know, and it hasn't been that long that everything you look at has gone up, everything.
I think that's...
Ain't nothing secret.
It's like, you know, people ask me if I raised my rates, and I said I had to. You know, this is just the nature of the beast, you know. And then, of course, you'll have people out there saying, oh, companies are being greedy. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, if you look at whenever companies have to raise their prices and then they lower them at a certain point, are they not being greedy at that point? Or they lost how they were greedy and forgot and they lowered their prices and then they have to raise their prices again? No, it's called supply and demand, you idiots. I mean,
why be in business if you can't make a buck, you know?
You have to survive if you don't. I mean, there's how many restaurants around this region had to close during COVID because there was multi-factor reasons. That one, they couldn't keep employees. Number two, the supply chain got crapped out completely. I mean, there's, you know, we can keep on going. Who knew that keeping people home for extended periods of time would have really hampered, you know, the economy? That's what happens. You know, look at Sweden. Sweden, I hate to point to Sweden, but they kept their economy going pretty well, and they really didn't have much difference between COVID numbers with any other country.
Well, I think the commercial real estate's going to take a real nosedive. Oh, yeah. It probably already has.
It's starting to have the...
I went down to Cochranton to see my coin dealer down there, and I was just standing there for a minute, and I'm looking. All these stores are out of business, and then right next door is a bank.
Yeah.
It's closed.
Yeah.
It's empty, totally empty.
Yeah.
I mean, Cochranton's like it's going to be a ghost town. They keep going. It's just, and that's a small little place, you know.
Yeah,
it's not. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
It's the economy has been hit in many multiple ways. It's very difficult to keep a business running these days. That more people than realize. But I don't think people magically get greedy during inflationary periods. No, they're trying to survive. If you don't cut it, if you don't meet the muster, you could easily go out. Look at Sears. Sears, we talked about Sears before on other shows that we did, but I'm going to say,
are they still in business?
Not really, no. But think about it. They had the Sears catalog, right? Everybody, you went to Sears for almost everything.
Yeah, I took that to the bathroom with me.
Yeah, yeah. But people used to go to the store all the time. They used to order things to their mail.
Oh, I love going to Sears. That was our favorite trip, you know. And
right.
And around Christmas time, we'd go into Erie and... Right to Sears, boy, you get to see all these little choo-choo trains all this stuff.
But think about this, though. They had it by the horns, the whole kit and caboodle, like how Walmart does. And guess what they failed to do? They didn't predict the internet. So they didn't put the money into the internet. They could have been Amazon. They had everything. They had the distribution, the warehousing, everything. all set out and laid out. You know, the bungalow that I have, right? You know, that I used to have, right? Yeah. Do you think that's a Sears house? I mean, that's an example there. They used to have Sears houses where you could, they'd send you the
house. You'd order it through the catalog.
And they missed the ball with the internet and went down crashing in flames so quick. And that's what it shows you. You have to be adaptive. You have to take risks. And then when these businesses get into this inflationary period, they're going to suffer. That's why you see these stores closing left and right.
And yeah, they can't afford the brick and mortar.
And the ones that survived, they're not being greedy. They had to do what they had to do. They had to raise rates. They had to increase their costs. Their costs went up, so they had to raise prices. It's a simple situation. If your costs go up, you have to raise your cost.
Yeah, that'd go out of business.
Yeah, I mean, and there's very few that keep their costs low, you know. But it's...
Well, I have a little firewood business, you know, where I buy the I have to buy the logs now because I sold all the stuff that was laying around. So I went whole hog and bought 10 truckloads. I mean, that's a lot. I'm still scratching my head and wondering why I did that. But boy, I got the inventory. And, you know, well, number one, it's hard to find anybody to help you. So it's just me by myself pretty much.
And your grandkids once
in a while. Well, yeah, you know, once or twice a week they show up for an hour. But I'm getting way ahead of schedule. But the only thing I'm worried about, and I'm trying to keep the price down, which I am lower than anybody else. But the only thing I'm worried about is the price of diesel fuel, the price of non-ethanol gasoline.
Right.
You know, all the pieces and parts, chainsaw chains and stuff like that. Right. You know, that's
directly affecting because if gasoline goes up, then
That's it. Boom.
Yeah, you have to raise your rates. I've said it to you before. I thought you had to raise your rates too because, you know, your competitors are probably almost double what you are.
Yeah, they are. They're getting really high.
And it's a sad reality is that this is they have to cover their costs too, and I can understand that. You know,
well, all my customers, and I tell them, I say, you know, I might have to bump it up $10 or so. They said, yeah, I don't blame you. I would too. You know, they all say, yeah, do it. So I'm trying not to, but, you know, I think this summer gasoline's going to go through the ceiling again. ARABs are
you know, it's really funny is cutting back. You know, I'm this is something critical that I've always said is that people were supporting Biden when he shut down pipelines, and that it is whatever, you know, there's private land that it's going through, and you know, that's whatever, that's here, near, or there. What I will say is, you know, one more point about that, about the private land, I don't like eminent domain, so I don't agree. Let's say I have your property, I would not agree with a pipeline going through my mineral rights that I own and putting a pipeline by through use of eminent domain. I would not agree to that. That's to me wrong, and call me crazy. Or saying, oh, you're stopping the oil. No, they're using eminent domain to put pipeline down. I don't agree with that part.
But well, they should just pay somebody.
That's what I'm saying. Pay them out.
So that's what the gas company does to people's properties.
I have two points I want to go off that. Because one, people were praising Biden for closing on the pipelines. But then he opens the Alaskan thing, more oil through Alaska recently. And nobody's talking about that at all. Like, hey, wait.
Well, nobody's buying it. Nobody's buying those leases either. They don't trust them.
No. But
it takes years to get
a
well going and billions of dollars. And then have the government just say, oh, never mind.
It's the other thing, too, with the eminent domain is I think it's the University of Michigan recently used eminent domain on a bunch of houses to build dorms in a city in Michigan. I can't remember the name of the city.
Ann Arbor?
Yeah. And that's disturbing to me. Why is that justified? These people have homes, and they're being forced to sell. The University of Michigan went to court and basically had eminent domain to take over these blocks to build dorms. And so these people lose their homes. And to me, that's like the most disturbing thing about our whole process in America, that you can just lose your home because, oh, they decide to do this. And, oh, by the way, that's also been used against different minority groups. And not to be, you know, I'm not trying to be woke or anything, but I'm using it as an example. They used to do that to black communities
use eminent domain to take over the black communities and just build whatever they want. They still do that today in Philadelphia. You know, all you Philadelphians that think that you're all so nice and everything, and well, screw you. You know,
have you been to Philadelphia lately?
I have, yeah.
Holy catfish!
Wow.
Well, I went to Gary's funeral, and
yeah,
I'll never go there ever again. Never. I mean, I never seen so many people packed in, so many road construction, and you know, I had to pay money to sit in line on an interstate for like a half an hour.
Just sit there.
It cost me $10 to go a few miles. I said, "Wow, this is nuts. This is nuts."
So you went on I-80, right? The toll road.
I went across 80, then I snuck down some other interstate,
right.
And yeah, it was a total disaster.
Why is it that the toll, we have a rare situation in Pennsylvania. We have the toll road, right? And it's one of the most expensive toll roads.
Yeah,
in
I
the
bet.
World.
I bet it is.
And
well, 80's free, so that's
what's the toll road then, right? That's a different one. What's that one?
Oh,
the Pennsylvania Turnpike, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the most expensive.
360 or something like that.
Yeah, that's one of the most expensive.
And bumpiest too.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? You know, we have the most expensive, yet they it's bumpy as hell. And then you know where most of that money's going? Well, not a good chunk of it, at least a good chunk of it's going to the transit system in Philly. Why is that funny?
Well, that's because they're bankrupt. Philadelphia's going to go belly up
quick. Yeah, they're barely on the edge. They're worse. And then
they're going to ask all the farmers in the state to, you know, bump the taxes and help bail out Philadelphia.
Well, I guarantee that's going to happen. But you know, you look at people talk about Flint, Michigan with the lead and everything and the water and how bad it is. But they don't realize is Pittsburgh and Philly both have worse lead situations, but no one's talking about that. It's all about Flint, you know? I'm not saying that, Flint's getting all the attention, but the nation was freaked out about Flint. But Google it or DuckDuckGo it and find the information out. Look at the different cities' lead reports. Hint, Pittsburgh and Philly are worse. And, you know, people dog Union City, but we have probably the cleanest water in the state or tri-state even.
Well, we spent $14 million on fixing it up.
Yeah. And
we had a good guy, too. Dan Brummagen knew his stuff, you know, and I think he's still there.
He's still there.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he's going to retire someday here. I don't know.
Yeah, I know he's getting close to that.
I don't blame him. He's been doing that water stuff and crap
stuff.
I say the crap stuff because he does the sewage, too.
That's all part of the...
It
has to come out.
I don't have a water bill. I have a sewage bill. And it's always called my crap bill, you know? You're taking my crap, I pay you for my crap, you know?
Dan's, he definitely... I mean, I know he raised the prices on everybody. I'm pretty sure of that because that's the way he was on borough council, too. He liked raising taxes. And as the mayor, I got to veto or not sign the bills, you know, and stuff like that. But it's just nonstop. I said, what the heck? But, I mean, I went to Kurt Sonny and bugged the heck out of him. I even talked to the governor, Corbett. Orbit. For some reason, they got an awfully big grant, you know, for this. They were kind of shocked. I mean, Kurt was shocked, too.
Right.
But they got a lot of grant money because everybody in the state is bugging for money, to fix their water. Everybody's water systems and sewer systems are old.
I will say that our system, even though we have very old, piping and whatnot, you know, the pipe works and everything, but it's old, but... It really set Union City in the future, so it has a long-term protection. But, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you knew this, but there's a new company that just got the grant, the lease for putting a power station at the dam. So we'll have hydro dam in the future. But I don't know where that electricity is going. From what I'm reading, it might not go to Union City.
Union City Dam?
Okay. Yeah, they're gonna put a hydro generator in there.
Not the Union Reservoir.
The Union City Dam.
Dam, the big one out there.
Yeah. So that's a big deal. That's a big thing there. It happened about a year ago, but they're going to... I kind of, I'm not saying, it should go to the community, but I wish it was kind of something a little bit more local would have put that investment in, but nobody has the money for that kind of probably to do that, or interest. The other thing is, all those people that own the property and the backup, that's a lot of farmland. So you'd have to...
Yeah.
There has to be something to figure out, but... That's some interesting news, you know. I mean, but
they got it worked out pretty good up there. It backs up in the spring, and floods a lot. You know, it doesn't get Wattsburg, but it gets close. You know, yeah. It gets pretty close up there.
I used to hear the stories about that before they built that in, from older people that were like from the, you know, it was built in the 60s, I think.
So
before that, there used to be the floods through French Creek going to Cambridge Springs were way worse.
Oh, sure.
And I cannot imagine, you know, there was a, you know, my grandfather, my second great grandfather had a sawmill and chair factory. And also this building that we're standing in, or sitting in, that used to be his building too. And he was, when they had the ice dam break in Union City and it flooded this building here, there's pictures of that, and it's a historical society. They have pictures of all the flooding from 1880s, I think it was. And I was thinking, man, we kind of don't have that anymore. What the heck happened? You know, like, I don't know, just kind of weird things like that. We don't have those problems anymore. Like, there's, yeah, this flooding happens around the world, but in this region, it's been kind of controlled with all that, the dam building they did back in the 30s and 60s, in that range.
Yeah, around here, the dams they build are made out of earth. You know, it's not like the Hoover Dam and that kind of stuff. Right. There's a lot less expensive. But Ty Nesta, is that right? Yeah, Ty Nesta Dam. They make electricity there.
Yeah.
I went through that place, and they got some big generators, four or five generators.
It's just like the one in Warren. I believe that one does electricity.
Kinzu, yeah. Yeah,
that's a nice
one. I never went through that place, so I don't know.
You gotta check it out sometime. It's really
nice. I've been there, but I never got to go inside and see the generators and see how they... I know they lift water at nighttime up to these big ponds up top, and then during the day they empty the ponds, and that's what runs the generators, you know.
Right.
And Ty Nesta does the same thing. But, you know, you got to see the whole inner workings of how these things work. And pretty amazing.
Big
pretty amazing.
Yeah. Think about that. You know, that was...
Big 8-foot pipes coming down off the mountains.
Right.
Run them generators and turbines.
So Nikola Tesla and Westinghouse, right? They're the ones that kind of did the alternating current that developed our generators.
Yeah, Niagara Falls up there,
But did you know Westinghouse recently made a new nuclear power plant? It's like the first generation, like the newest generation out there, not the first generation, but newest generation of nuclear power plants. It only cost $1 billion. That's cheap compared to a coal plant. And it can power three.
Well, as long as Russia keeps selling us uranium, we'll be all right.
Well, I'm telling you right now.
We're not allowed to mine it in the United States.
Well, they're changing that pretty soon. There's right now legislation to open up uranium mining in the United States. They're pushing it.
We got a lot of uranium in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Texas, Wyoming.
These new plants that the Westinghouse made can power up to 300,000 homes. One of them. And that's very efficient. And it's extremely safe the way they're doing it. I don't know. Do you want to play another song?
But let's keep discussing the world debacle, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
When we come back. Let's play some of our music.
Yeah.
Distance band music.
Yeah. Well, some Traveling Alone.
All right, let's try that.
Mountains rock this time of year. They close the highway down. They don't run the town. And I've been fighting second gear for 15 miles or so, trying to beat the angry snow. I know every town we're passing through, so what good does knowing do with no one to show it to? And I've grown tired of traveling alone, tired of traveling alone. I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? Tired of traveling alone, tired of traveling alone. I'm grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? stand upright. So high the street girl wouldn't take my pay. She said, come see me on a better day. And she just danced away. And I'd grown tired of traveling alone. Tired of traveling alone. I've grown tired of traveling alone. Won't you ride with me? I've grown tired of traveling alone. Tired of traveling alone.
BS show coming back at you.
Real BS.
Yeah. You want to BS?
Yeah, we could BS.
Man, there's a lot to BS. You know, I was watching this channel on YouTube, and I've been watching it a lot lately. It's Nick Johnson.
Yeah.
And he goes from state to state all over the country. I mean, Los Angeles, New York, Florida, Texas, Arkansas. He hits every place. Right. And he hits all these little towns out down south and out west. Mississippi is just amazingly poor. Right. Just unbelievably poor.
But you can build there very easily. So it's
well, the taxes are lower, too. Yeah. You know, but in Alabama is just, I mean, whew, incredible. Of course, I lived there. I saw it. You know, I was there for 4 years. What he was showing was true because I seen it, you know.
Right.
It was just... I mean, I went to the bank when I first went down there. I went to the bank and I said, asked them if they had an ATM machine. And they said, well, what's that? I said, well, that's a box that you put your card in and you get money out.
Right.
Say, what? they didn't believe me. Now, this was in, 96?
Wow.
No, 98, I think.
Wow.
Something like that. I mean, there was ATM machines everywhere else, but not in Marion, Alabama.
Interesting.
And there's pretty not a big town, but
and to think, you know, you saying all that, and people think, okay, that we have poor in this country. We don't compared to the rest of the world. Those people in Alabama and Mississippi that you were seeing on YouTube, where you saw in person,
yeah,
were rich compared to other people in the world.
Oh,
you know,
I mean, I worked at a foundry, and I was the chief industrial electrical engineer. I don't know, $70,000, $80,000 a year.
Right.
I was like, whew, top of the line. I mean, it was amazing. And it's so different. It's so different. The food's different. Everything's different, you know. And it's just hard to imagine how, I don't know how those folks survive without air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
But most folks didn't have air conditioning down there. They just, It was just amazing, amazing. Of course, the weather, you know, in the wintertime was a lot nicer than it is up here. But
one of the things I found when I was in the South, I was in Fort Benning, is many people go out in the evening when it's cooled down, and that's when they're outside doing the things.
Yeah.
But usually they're inside.
Well, summertime down there is like wintertime is up here. You can't go outside and do anything.
Right.
You know, you can't.
Everyone's like, I'm going to move to the South and enjoy the hot, warmer weather. And it's like, yeah, you're going to be inside again, just like, you know, we're in a winter.
You're going to be inside during the summer.
Yeah.
Unless you go down to the coast or something where you got a breeze, but holy smokes, it's different. It's really different. But to see this Nick Johnson channel, and you look across the country, it's just there's nothing spared. I mean, Illinois is just awful, just awful, and the way they're losing jobs and the way, you know, it's going nutty. It's just totally going up. I mean, our country is really going down the toilet.
Yeah, it's been a gradual decline for the last 30 years, and most of that you can put the blame on looking at how we didn't compete on the global stage for...
Well, we gave everything away, too. I mean, NAFTA and all these different...
Right.
You know, China took over everybody moved to China and to get that cheap labor. And
I'm going
to
ask you this. You know, you now they're leaving China at rapid rate right now. In the last year, many, like...
Mexico.
Mexico. That's a big one. I think I sent you a video on that. I wish people would watch. I can't remember the name of the video, but basically how a lot of jobs are going to Mexico because they don't have to worry about a seaport. They can use rail. They can build factories in empty areas that nobody's living in. So it's many companies are moving to Mexico or Vietnam or India. Apple's moving to India. A lot of big chip factories are moving out of China big time. One is Mexico respects intellectual property. You know, people have their problems with intellectual property. But if you were to make a product and then have it manufactured in China a year later, the Chinese would make their own factories. And all the companies in China are 51% owned by the Chinese Communist Party. So they would be replicating your product within a year and selling it for half the price on Amazon. And then they'd hire a bunch of people in China for pennies pennies.
Well, they don't have Social Security and, you know, all the workman's comp and all the stuff.
But the thing is they'll hire a bunch of people to put bad reviews on your product and then put good reviews on their product that they copied from you. So this is the problem in China that many companies are waking up to.
Oh, that's a nice trick to do here.
Yeah, well, I mean,
why don't we do that here?
Because we have property respect property rights here.
Don't respect nothing. We want to blow everybody up.
True, but compared to China, we respect property rights. So if you were to do that here, you'd get sued. But I think that's one of the things is now you look at these other countries. I say we should be sending our manufacturing to Africa. There's a prime opportunity to make profit there. We're not going to see those jobs come back to America. They're starting to in many industries. They're coming back to the United States. And that was when Trump was in office. I will admit, he did bring some jobs back. But the key to that is it's not just the president doing it. I think, in my view, we should make our country's presidential elections meaningless by basically not giving that much power to the president and leaving it to Congress.
Well, it's not a elected government. It's a donor. It's a donor-run government.
Right, right,
It's the donors that run the show. I mean, they donate to these congressmen. That's why some of them have been in there so long. They got so much. The donors just pour money into there. It's just bizarre. It's all coming back to, you know, blowback or whatever you want to call it.
The other thing too is you know, the tariffs just pushed jobs more further back. I don't know if they really worked. I think free trade's the best avenue for a free market. I'm a big free market advocate. I think we need to have the freest market as possible. And in the United States, we're not a free market like we should be. Now, other countries will point to us and say we are freer than other countries, but that is true to a point. I think we could be freer by allowing free trade. And that I think we should be able – I should be able to buy anything from any country I want to. That's my view. And right now, that's not the case. There's a lot of restrictions on that.
Well, the energy thing is another one. I mean, cheap energy will make any country big. I mean, and Well, when Biden took office, I mean, the first thing he did was close down. The price of oil went from like $30, $40 a barrel.
Right.
It jumped to $130 a barrel within a week. Within a week.
Right.
And the price of gas went from $2.25 up to almost $5. Sometimes over $5. And it's going there again. It's headed that way again.
Right.
You know, that's the only reason I would raise my prices. Because fuel is the only thing I really spend a lot of money on.
Did you see the possible trial of them charging mileage tax
on EVs?
Yeah, for EVs in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they'll kill that department too. You know,
well, you know, they want their tax money. That's what they're realizing, right? That EVs don't use gas. Oh, what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I will say this: we right now. I knew that was coming.
Oh, that's a big one.
So look at right now we're going to look at one department, but I won't mention the name of the department in this government, in the state, the Commonwealth, until the very end. Okay, so you're going to have to guess what it is at the end. Okay, we have registration tax for your vehicle. A good chunk of that goes to this organization. The usage tax on gas. The sales tax that's included in the price of gas.
Yeah, it's getting bigger all the time.
We have the third largest gas tax in the nation. And a majority of that goes to this organization. Also, your income tax that you pay to the state, or the Commonwealth, I'm sorry, also goes to this organization. So they have three revenue sources and also any fines. A good part of the moving violations and non-moving violations, a chunk of that goes to this organization. Can you name this name of this organization that's part of the government?
It's either the highway or the police. One of
Thank
the two.
You. It's the state police.
State police. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you this. They're going to sit there and claim that our town out here is not full coverage. And so they have to patrol out there. But they'll put that in the report that there's no police support out here, that we don't have any police support in this town. And so they have to patrol here. That's why they need more funding. So they're using our town as an example here. That they need more funding. But we have our own police force.
Yeah, see, that's screwed up because when I was the mayor, I mean, we spent, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand a year on the police department,
yeah.
You know, cars and bullets and all that stuff and,
right.
and the policemen. And Waterford, them guys over there, they're just laughing at us and they said, we don't spend nothing. He said, what we do is we make a donation to the state police and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
$30,000 a year or something, boom.
But they're covered. That's causing everybody else's taxes to go up, is what I'm getting at.
Well, that's what I mean.
They're using,
you know,
Waterford as an example. They have no police force, and they send $30,000, but yet we spend $200,000, and they're claiming that we have none here. That's why they have to cover us, hence why they need all these increases. And that's what my problem is. They're getting it from the registration fees. They're getting it from the gas tax. They're getting it from income tax and also grants. And I think that's where I have a problem. I don't think we need more police. We need less, way less state police. Look, I'll be honest with you. I think state police. I'm not anti-police. I'm just anti-wasteful money. There are 65,000.
Well, it's got to be a fair playing field, so it's the same for everybody, not just. You know, those that want to play and those who don't want to play.
I don't think we should be having the state police being covering in Union City. I think they're wasting our tax dollars driving around, idling their vehicles all the time. They should be, when we need help, we call the police. They shouldn't be out going around is what I'm getting at here. They should be
looking. Well, we don't have 24-hour service, though. We only have.
I get that, but they're still patrolling when we have police on duty.
16-hour.
Do you see what I'm saying? We have police on duty, and they're still patrolling. That's my point. Even still, when we have no police, they shouldn't be patrolling around. They should be sitting at their barracks. They should be like firemen waiting for an emergency to come, not driving around wasting tax dollars. I know the reasons they'll say, oh, well, there might be speeders and whatnot. You know what? There's going to be speeders no matter what when the cops are out or not. It's just a part of life. They should be getting a revenue from those fines. They should be getting
a revenue.
Just
buy a bunch of police cars and park them all over the county and just let them sit there and let people think that there's watching them.
we're just wasting a lot of money for not much return. It's similar to the parking fines that the borough was
wanting. We could do like Denver does and just put up a whole bunch of cameras, and if you're speeding, it takes a snapshot of your car.
Well, that's a privacy issue.
And they
issue.
Send you the ticket.
That's a privacy issue because you could just install. Remember, a buddy of ours that we won't mention his name, that he used to have a plate flipper business. Remember this?
Oh, yeah.
We can't mention his name, but he did that for a while, and you push a button and the plate would flop down.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, there's always somebody coming up with new ideas.
I wonder if you get those on Amazon.
You can.
Can you?
Yeah. Even ones where you can, it comes back up, you know.
My license plate is falling apart. It's all the paint's coming off.
You said you were going to repaint yours by yourself.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a magic marker and color in the numbers.
You should put, like, really weird colors on there, like make it, like, from the 60s or something, like psychedelic colors.
Well, that toll booth there down by Philadelphia, it snapshotted my screwed-up license plate. Took a couple weeks, but I still got a bill in the mail.
Yep.
So they could read it. The camera could read it.
That's called machine learning. they learned how to identify crappy license plates because our Commonwealth is so great. We spend all this money on license plates, you know, when you buy them, and they send it to you, and the crap's falling off on it, you know?
Yeah. And now, if I want a new one, or I guess I'm supposed to get a new one, you got to go to an inspection station, and they got to survey it. Then they got to fill out all this paperwork.
How long do you think that surveying will take? You look at it. Yep, it's bad.
Yeah. Well, you need an official guy to fill out the papers.
Does he get an official hat to wear when he does this?
I don't know.
Is there like an official hat inspection?
Whatever inspection people, you know, inspection stations
have.
Maybe
ask my father this. You know, he's in that industry a little bit.
Well, you know but screw it. I ain't doing nothing until I get pulled over.
They can't really pull you over for that. They're the ones that issued it.
Whatever. So,
I told you should just color it in like really pastel colors than they leave you alone. You just run down, I'm a woke person. Don't trigger me. Don't pull me over.
Yeah. This whole world's going nuts. I mean, you know, all this money we're throwing at, you know, for a couple more $1 billion, they could have finished the fence down there across Mexico, the southern border.
I'm going to tell you about that fence thing.
Now we got $150 billion in Ukraine, and it's all blowed up.
Yes. but here's the other one of the problem with the fence thing. They're climbing that fence already. They actually figured a way to, you know, have the bars on Trump's fence.
I don't know.
They're using it to actually climb now. It's actually easier to get across it. I've always said the whole thing's goofy about that fence thing. They're using drones to fly drugs over, or they're using cannons to shoot drugs over across the border. They're using boats, and someone sent 12 submarines to the United States to ship cocaine. This is a submarine bill.
Well, but you got a lot of these people. I mean, are they shooting people over the fence?
Oh no, they're sending them over the fence. They I told you about how they're doing the new fence. They use like they took two T-shirts and tied them off like in a knot, and were able to scale the new fence that Trump put up, and get over top of it.
No, I would guarantee that fence is slowing them down.
Nope.
They're not getting 10 million people over that fence.
They were able to get over that fence in less than 10 seconds, is what I saw.
Well, not all the, you know, those hordes and hordes of people that they're just...
They're sitting at the, what's it called, the, when they come into the United States, you have to go through, not customs, but immigration office, the immigration and whatever office, I can't remember, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no.
That's where they're...
The doorways?
Yeah, the doorway, yeah. they're coming in, and they're just scaling there, so they're all hanging out in Mexico, then at the border. Remember when Kamala Harris didn't go down there, and, you know, I'm going to the border, and blah, blah, blah. She didn't do anything. Remember that?
She got within 10 miles of it.
Yeah, and didn't do anything, you know. That whole thing, that's when it started, and it's still going on. But I loved DeSantis when he sent the immigrants that came, the legal ones, he sent them Martha Stewart. That was very amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were pissed off that
Martha's
they got them.
Martha's Vineyards.
Yeah, Martha's Vineyards. Yeah. And they were like...
Up there by Obama's house.
Yeah, and they were like, what are we supposed to do with them? Well, you wanted them to come in. They can go to you, you know?
Yeah, they can mow your lawn.
Yeah.
What the heck?
You know, why don't you build housing for them? That's what the problem is. You know, that was like saying, well, we should invite these immigrants in. Well, no other country has open borders. I will quote Bernie Sanders. We should get Bernie Sanders' quote and play it. Should we do that?
No.
Listen, I'll tell you, he's actually...
I don't want to waste any time on
that. He talks the truth, though. If you listen to Bernie Sanders, he's telling the truth. And I think you would probably agree with Bernie Sanders.
It's only 10% of his speeches are truthful.
That's what I'm saying, is this was one part you can sit there and say, I probably agree with Bernie Sanders on it. Want to hear it?
No, okay. I don't.
I'll show it to you later.
I'm too lazy for that.
But if you go, I just say, go Google or DuckDuckGo, what Bernie Sanders says on immigration, you might agree with it. Even that Democratic Socialist.
Well, even Clinton and all those back in the late 90s and that, we're going to lock down, we're going to follow the law, we're going to do this, we're going to do, they didn't do nothing.
Right.
They just invited more folks
they
in.
They did. They actually hired more ICE agents. They hired, because there's, Clinton did that, and they tried doing a trial version of cameras. But those failed. It shows you it requires a lot to catch the border. What the problem is they're going to go around the border, they're going to go under the border, they're going to go over the border with different technology. They're going to come on ships, and look what's happening in India right now. Italy, where they're trying to leave Africa and going to Italy on these boats, these cargo boats that are like junk. And their version of the Coast Guard are finding these people at record rates trying to go to Europe. And it's overwhelming the system. And everyone's like, they're being mean to them by shipping them back to Africa. Well, I'm sorry. The problem is I'm not anti-immigration. My family were immigrants in the last 100 years.
Well, our whole country is that way.
Yeah, we're all immigrants. But we can't take we're taking more immigrants from any other country than any other country is by percentage. By percentage, not by population.
Well, Poland's getting a lot of them now.
Yeah, but
you see, Ukrainians are leaving Ukraine faster than you can.
It's same with Russia. Russia, if you go to like Kazakhstan, a lot of Russians there. You go to Georgia, there's a lot of Russians there. There's a lot of them in Lithuania.
Well, that's where Stalin came from.
Yeah,
Georgia.
You know, people don't realize this, but Stalin actually hated Russians. That's why he killed so many. Anywho,
right? That's true. Yeah. He was not a He was a very bad guy, but he started out in Georgia. He was going to be a preacher or something.
A priest.
And he checked out.
His father his father wanted him to be an Orthodox priest, and he decided against that and went to join communism. But I just look at that. We need to have a structure in this country. There's nothing wrong with immigration. I love immigrants coming to this country. I love brain bleeding other countries. Of their most smartest people coming here. A good example is...
We need people to pick the grapes and stuff.
Well, that too, yeah. Well, they're using machinery now to do that, too.
Yeah, well, they're getting that going, too.
But here's the deal. I'm going to give you an example here. Right now, Nigerians coming to the United States score the highest in colleges and SAT scores and all those test scores. We need more Nigerians in this country that wanting to educate, build businesses. We need to have more people from... India coming in.
No, we need to raise the property taxes so we can get better schools.
No. That's another one, throwing money at education. It never works. Every time they throw more money at education, I'm sorry you teachers out there, I'm not hating on you, but the more money they throw at education, it's failing. We need to figure a new way of doing this. How about we just let the teachers actually control their curriculum? I'm going to join on the teacher side here. Nowadays, teachers can't actually teach what they want to teach. They're handed a book and said, this is how you teach. This is what you're going to teach. This is the approved material. I disagree with that. I think
so the federal government's running the education.
Thank you. The Department of Education should be disbanded, like Ron Paul said. What we need to do is let the teachers actually teach. You earned that degree. You went through all that schooling. You got all that certification. You passed all these clearances. You should be allowed to teach the kids the course that you view as a teacher. Within guidelines of the school, there should be some little bit of guidance. But over time, you should be able to completely control the course, the curriculum, and everything to gear towards that subject. That's when our students were better educated, because it was individualized to that classroom. That teacher was able to figure out, maybe I could slow here and speed up here. Now it's a federal level across the board. Everybody has to teach this material at this level. And if it doesn't, then that school loses funding. I disagree with that. This is why it's centralized education. I do not believe in centralized education. We need distributed education.
That's the way Russia does it. Yeah. Communists used to do it. I don't know how Russia does it now. But.
Let's revise that. Most of Europe is centralized, including Russia. That's why we want to say Russia. Just look at Europe. They're centralized. China's centralized. They're actually more centralized than any other country. It's all top down. We need bottom up, and that's what makes our country great. Look at examples. The English common law, we inherited that, right? We don't have the civil law like Europe does. In the civil law, it's top down. Here's how the laws and courts are ruled out in the judges. And in America, We have the English common law as our basis of our common law. It's bottom up. So all the laws set precedents from the bottom. So if you have a problem with somebody and they injure you, you could set the precedents for a ruling. And that can usurp the laws. And that's what's great about our country. We have the, it's probably one of the most liberating things that's ever happened to humanity is the English common law. I'll give the British that. They gave us that as a foundation of our country. And I think it's one of the things that makes America great is the English common law. Is in any country that's adopted.
Well, I think we're losing that too. The courts are so screwed up. And
but they've been on the side of the of Americans for quite a while now. They've ruled in a lot of good favor. Some people disagree with some of the views, especially about the abortion one. But look at we can go there if you want to. I don't know if you want to or not.
What's that?
The abortion one.
No,
you don't want to talk about that. Okay.
Yeah, that's a
hot topic.
Yeah.
It's not like it's banned anywhere. You can move to another state to get it. It's not that difficult. And there's organizations out there that can fund it. So this whole thing that, you know, it's a big travesty, it's like not that big of a deal. If you don't like the state, how the state's rules are, then move. That's what's great about our country. That applies for anything.
If you don't like our country, move.
Well look at California. I almost said China for you. But California.
Communist California.
If you don't like California, then move. You could go to another state, but don't be bringing your freaking views about how California was operating to another state. Obviously, those things failed. If you think California is still doing well, yeah, they could be the eighth largest economy in the world. Okay, I hear that all the time.
You need to go for a ride out there.
Just go take a gander out there.
Just drive through the state.
And realize how many businesses are leaving California, and then you'll realize the same thing with China. A lot of businesses are leaving China at a rapid rate. And also, China's economy has dropped by 60%. Same thing with California. It's going to happen, you know? So, you know, California shouldn't be the beacon of hope that you should be pointing to.
It's a mess. It's a real mess. I mean, it's just, you just wouldn't believe it. I mean, it's just amazing how, even Seattle, Portland, you know, all across the West Coast there is just unbelievable.
When you were in California.
Disaster.
You were in California in the early 2000s, I think?
Yeah, yeah.
And you saw the homeless problem there then, right?
Well, it's not only homeless, but there were so many immigrants. There were certain sections. I mean, I worked in a fruit packing company, and everybody was Mexican. I didn't know what they were saying. You know, and same way with the Vietnamese or Hmongs, Hmongs or something like that.
We brought those here. Holy smokes. We gave them refugee status because of what happened in Vietnam.
Yeah, that whole debacle over there.
I look at it this way. Wouldn't you say most Americans would not want to do that job? That's why they have Mexicans there?
I don't know.
Is that probably why?
I was there.
Oh, I know. But do you see what I'm saying? It's like, I'm the type of person, I think if you want to come here and work, work visas are okay, but I think, what we have a problem with is, we do need to have a clearer process of immigration. I'm not anti-immigration, I'm pro-immigration. I think that if they have a criminal record, that they shouldn't be here, that kind of thing. There should be limitations on that, but...
Now it doesn't matter.
No.
If you get across the river, you're here.
There is a little bit of a back process. You know, okay, I know some people that there's a marriage thing where they get married and then they have to get like a fiancé visa and all this crap. And a lot of times they'll end up divorcing the person just for the American citizenship after 4 years and then can go on being an American citizen. That's very common, more than people realize. So hint, be very careful about marrying a foreigner because – especially if they come from a very... And there's nothing wrong with it. You know, I'm not trying to talk about downtrodden communities.
Filipino wives?
Well, not just them.
I think you can get Russian wives, too.
Yeah, you can. There's many Russian women. They got sick and tired of... Because it's a whole former Soviet Union. Many of those men are alcoholics.
Oh, yeah.
All those... Because the Soviet Union was horrible, man. I mean, don't let people fool you. It was horrible. And I know this because I have family members that are from that area. The former Soviet states and the Warsaw Pact countries... are all alcoholics almost. All the men are.
Well, that's the way the Russian preppers, they say, well, just as long as I got my cigars and vodka, I'm prepped, I'm ready for any war.
Right.
But bring it on.
But it's like, you know, it's kind of like the Chinese have too many men, the Russians have too many women. There's kind of something, maybe something will happen there, I don't know. That'd be an odd one. You don't usually, no offense to Asians.
They get together, we're in trouble.
Well, you don't usually see too many Asian men with white women. It's just nothing against it. Just I'm not like trying to pull up some miscongeniality laws.
Observations.
Just an observation. You don't see too many Asian men with, you know, you see occasional. Usually it's South Korean men because they're very tall. You'll see that happen. But, you know.
I don't know.
You ever notice that, though? South Korean men versus North Korean men.
Oh, I wouldn't know a North from a South. I wouldn't know a Korean from a...
Well, the South Koreans are taller by a foot compared to the North Korean men. The North Korean men are
short. Where's the Chinese guys fit in?
They're short, too.
How about Japan?
They're a little bit taller. They're well more fed.
See, I wouldn't know one from the other.
Yeah.
You know, I don't... There's one guy plays basketball for Houston, Rockets or something like that. He's 7 foot something.
Wouldn't you imagine that? Think about it. How horrible that'd be to be that tall. You try to get into a car, you can't fit. Try to get through a doorway.
You can't get a taxi in China. Yeah. Forget it.
But think about it. Being that tall would suck. I'm 5'10", so I'm average American height for a male. But, like, 7 foot, you're, like, hitting your head on the doorway. You know, we walk through the back door here, and there's that metal beam there. You'd be hitting your head on that. Your chin would be hitting it.
Yeah. No, it's well. Let's play a song and take a Coke break.
And union break, right?
Yeah. Check our contract.
That's my broom. I can run the broom.
Yeah. All right. What song you wanna? Let's play one of our songs.
All on the Watchtower.
Oh, okay. That's
our first one that we did.
Yeah, that was our very first excursion into making our own music.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
It must be some kind of way out of here. Send the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman that drank my wine. Blind man gave my falsely now that I was getting ready. Princess kept a view.
OBS show. Gonna finish up today?
Yeah, we're over an hour.
Are we? Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah. People are falling asleep.
Yeah.
They'd be tired of listening to us babble. I don't know. It's just the world's falling apart, it seems like, you know. Everybody's fighting with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's inside our country, outside our country.
But wouldn't this be this everywhere? Normal? This is normal human nature, Bill.
Well, maybe the internet sped everything up or maybe, something. It's maybe. Just like, whew, you can't, I mean, Putin can't sneeze without somebody reporting on it, you know. It's just like, holy catfish. And they don't even have internet that much over there. But anyways, well, China's spying on them, so.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess we've covered enough. I mean, you know, there's problems everywhere, just everywhere. So I think I'm going to vote for Elon Musk to be president.
He can't be, but I can understand.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's not from this country.
He's African, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. South African. Well, they're part of the BRICS nations.
Yeah.
So they're going to take over the world. U.S. dollar's going down the toilet. And it won't be long. Bread's going to be 10 bucks. Oh, shoot.
Grow your own wheat.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Okay, well, let's end it today with Gary's song.
Yeah.
Gary's, the song he wrote.
And that it was the last song he did, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really did a nice job. I mean, super, super job before he died. So, Gary, this one's for you if you're up there listening someplace. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, Seth?
All right, sounds good.
All right.
To pay you. capture you tonight and hold